Good afternoon, and thanks for joining the Daily Liberal Podcast. This is Jonathan. This is our inaugural podcast. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for joining us. You can find the Daily Liberal at thedailyliberal.net, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just type in the Daily Liberal. Today is October 16th, Tuesday. We are 21 days and counting from the big midterm election. We got some new polling data from Real Clear Politics and 538.com. We're going to take a real good look at the Senate. We're going to break down some of those races. Right now, though, we're going to jump into the House of Representatives. We're going to take an overview of the House of Representatives today. A later podcast, we're going to break down some of the toss-up races. But right now, we're just going to take a look at the snapshot of where we're going with the House of Representatives. Right now, according to Real Clear Politics, Democrats have 199 seats that are safe outside the margin of error. Republicans have 197 seats outside the margin of error that are safe. That leaves us with 39 seats that are considered toss-ups. I don't know about you, but the word toss-up still makes me a little queasy. If you want to hop in the DeLorean with me, I'm going to get this baby up to 88 miles an hour. We're going to go back in time. Note the date is November 7th, 2016. Anybody that was anybody was telling you that Hillary Clinton was going to be the president and Donald Trump had no path to 270. That there was no way that all those toss-up states were going to break for Donald Trump. Historically, that isn't the case, that all the toss-ups break one way, but we know differently. We know that on that night, all the toss-up states did break another way, and not only did Donald Trump get to 270, he got to 300 and change. We sure hope the outcome's going to be different on November 6th. Breaking those 39 toss-up seats down a little further, good thing you like if you're a Democrat is, unlike the Senate, where we are defending a lot of seats, the House of Representatives, we are defending one seat that's considered a toss-up. The Republicans, on the other hand, are defending 28 seats that are considered a toss-up. There are 10 seats that are wide open. Those seats are where the incumbent, Republican or Democrat, decided not to run. This is an area that the Democrats have to, they have to make run up big numbers here. Got to get 7-8 out of 10 here. This is, if they're going to win the House, you look back on it, yeah, they win 7 or 8 out of 10 of these seats. That's how they did it. We're going to break down the 28 seats in a later podcast, but that's where we're at with the House of Representatives. We're going to go take a look at the Senate. The Senate, a couple months ago, there was some thought that we would flip the Senate, but mathematically and realistically, if you're a betting person, would not bet on the Senate being Republican on November 7th, 2018. Right now, according to Real Clear Politics, there are 49 seats that are going to be Republican on November 7th no matter what, and there's 43 seats that are going to be Democratic no matter what. They're safe, they're outside the margin of error, or they're just not running up, they're not up for re-election this year. That leaves us with 8 big races. I'm not very good at math, but if you add 8 to 43, that gets us to 51. So essentially, the Democrats have to run the table to get to 51. 50-50 doesn't really do us any good. Mike Pence would cast a tie-breaking vote in most cases. But we're going to start in Montana. We're going to take a look at that race. John Tester is the incumbent. That race has been closer, but right now he leads the Republican challenger, Matt Rosendale, 48-45. Montana's not a big state, not a lot of votes out there. Democrats are going to have to turn out. That was a state that Trump, you know, won mightily. But right now, Tester has the lead, and it's right almost outside the margin of error. So you kind of like where that race is headed. We're going to take a look at West Virginia. Joe Manchin recently voting for the Schlitz-Kavanaugh fame. That race had been considered a tight race at one time. This is a state that Trump won by over 20 points. He's facing Patrick Morrisey. Right now, Manchin is sitting at 45% against 36% for Morrisey. So that race still considered a toss-up, but looks like Manchin is safely ahead right now as of the polling of today. I'm going to take a look at North Dakota. This is a race that is considered a toss-up. Heidi Heitkamp is the incumbent. She is sitting at 42% versus Kevin Cramer, the Republican challenger, who is sitting at 50%. So that race does not look good for the Democrats. Looking at Nevada, going to stay out west. Dean Heller is the Republican incumbent. He's sitting at 45%. Jackie Rosen is sitting at 45% as well, the Democratic challenger. Nevada, however you want to say it, is a state that went for Hillary Clinton in 2016 very narrowly. Interesting demographics in Nevada. It's just going to really depend, like everything else, on voter turnout. But right now, that race is a true toss-up. Looking at Arizona, continuing to stay out west, the seat that retiring Jeff Flake is leaving. We would have been better off, by the way, if Flake, who has lived up to his name recently, had run for re-election. The Democrats would have won that seat mightily. But he didn't, obviously. Martha McSally is a Republican challenger out there. She's sitting at 45%. Kristen Sinema, who had been ahead a couple percentage points, now finds herself in a tie at 45%. Again, interesting demographics in Arizona. That state traditionally has been Republican, and traditionally they have had two senators that have been Republican. So Sinema, even though she's in a tie right now, has a lot of history to overcome. We'll continue to take a look at that race over the next couple weeks. We're going to head out to Florida. Bill Nelson is the incumbent out there. A lot of name recognition, but he's going against a candidate who has the same type of recognition, and that's Rick Scott. He is the sitting Republican governor. Right now, the numbers are 47% for Nelson, 45% for Rick Scott. So this is a state that went narrowly for Donald Trump in 2016. So this is another race. Going to have to take a lot of look at the polling on that. Again, like all the races, is going to come down to turnout. Looking at Missouri, Claire McCaskill, who's been in more than one or two dogfights in her life. She is going against the Republican challenger, Josh Hawley. He's sitting at 46%, and Claire McCaskill is sitting at 45%. I'm not going to make any predictions, except I'm going to make a prediction that Claire McCaskill holds her seat. I can't speak for some of these other races, but McCaskill has been in a lot of dogfights. She's got a good reputation in Missouri, and she finds a way to win even when the polling says otherwise. So we'll see what happens in that race. We're going to continue to look at the polling numbers. Going to head back out to the Midwest, look at Indiana. This is a state that Donald Trump won by a wide margin in 2016. Joe Donnelly thought to be in a dogfight. Right now, though, polling has Joe Donnelly, Democrat incumbent, sitting at 46% versus Mike Braun, the Republican challenger, at 42%. So that race is still inside the margin of error, but right now Donnelly has a lead. Takes us out to the big race. The one that is drawing all the energy, all the press, is the Texas race. Beto O'Rourke, very exciting guy, very charismatic, has raised a ton of money versus the incumbent, Ted Cruz. Double what he got, though, Mr. O'Rourke is not going to be the senator from Texas. Despite all the energy and the recognition, O'Rourke is sitting at 42%. Versus 50% for Ted Cruz, which is just unbelievable. Ted Cruz is not a popular guy in the country, not a popular guy in Texas. Texas is a state that went for Donald Trump 7 or 8 points in 2016. A lot of energy in that race. Really interesting poll numbers. This is about as bad as it's been for O'Rourke. There's still some time, but man, he's got a lot of room to make up in a short amount of time. Well, that's all we got for today. Thanks for joining the Daily Liberal Podcast. Again, you can catch us on thedailyliberal.net, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check back with us. We will be looking at those House races. Thanks, and have a great day.